Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Freddy Krueger here, and you're listening to Mike the Birdman Dodd and the rest of the crew this week in Geek.net.
Did you grow up with a NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world of geeks. Games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back, they're gonna save the world.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Hello, listeners. I want to play a game. And you might be wondering, what game is that? Well, it's the game that we're going to be talking about as we do every single Halloween. That's right, guys. It is I, Mike the Birdman Dodd from ThisWeekInGeek.net. And it's our annual Halloween show here. We've been doing this for almost 10 years. I've actually had this guest on the show for the last 8. I'm talking about my good friend, the angry video game nerd himself.
Hey, it's James. How are you doing?
I am doing rather well. Man, I cannot believe we've been doing this together for almost 10 years.
Yeah, it's become such a tradition that, you know, we talk about earlier on. We're like, hey, which series are we doing this time?
I know. It's so intense. And to think this is your last Monster Madness. So I guess hopefully you'll still do this next year.
yeah.
But yeah, man. I mean, it's been such a tradition for us. I mean, we've talked about Evil Dead, we've talked about Aliens, we've done, I think we even did the Living Dead movies at one point.
Yeah, I think we did both Universal and Hammer.
Yeah, like, it's been just one thing, and if you want to go back and find those episodes, you can go on to ThisWeekInGeek.net. I'm sure James has links as well on his website, though of note, the Aliens franchise show is currently down. I'm not entirely sure why. I'll have to talk to my kind of webmaster about that. Though it's funny, though, you and I were talking about that a little while ago, because you actually had in your notes, grab your barf bags, and we still don't know why.
Yeah. No, it ended up in the URL of one of the videos for some reason. I don't know why. It was like, it must have been on the list or whatever, and I think I must have sent it to Mike or whatever, and like, with all the titles of the videos, and for some reason the title forever says, get out your barf bags.
So this time here on the Halloween Topic Show, we're going to talk about James Wan's Saw franchise. This is a movie series that has been around since 2004. So this has been around for 12 years now. So this movie is just about to hit puberty.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things, it really did a lot for the horror genre, both good and bad, I would argue for it. So over the course of the next hour, James and I are just going to talk about some of our thoughts about the movie franchise itself, the direction horror is now going, some possibilities with the franchise, and maybe some of the more memorable traps that we saw during the course of this series. So I guess let's kind of throw things to you, James. When did you first see Saw? God, that sounds weird to say out loud.
Yeah. I saw all the Saw movies. This is my first time watching all seven of them, which I've been planning to do for years and years, just to be able to say I saw them and you know, to just more in your memory bank, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I saw the first three when the third one came out. I watched the first one back then, and I liked it. I thought it was really good. And then I actually thought the second one was even better because it had Tobin Bell and as a main character. And you actually get to know the villain more. So I really loved the second one. And then I watched the third one, and I thought it was so horrible that I just abandoned it after that. When I heard they're coming with Saw 4, I'm like, the guy's dead. How are they going to continue it? And I just didn't see him. But now I watched through them all, and I'm glad I did. So, yeah.
Now, what was it about the third one that you didn't like?
The third one...
Because that was one with the doctor who was trying to save Tobin Bell's life and with the kidnapped kid.
I remember it wasn't as energetic as the first two. Like, the first two had so much fast editing, and they had this kinetic energy going on.
Mm-hmm.
And this one seemed a little bit slower paced. And I actually think it is the longest of the Saw movies.
I think it's almost 2 hours, I think.
Yeah, it's about 20 minutes longer than most of them. I think most of them clock in at, like...
hour and a half, give or take.
Yeah, something like that. And I think, The brain surgery close-ups were just gratuitous. It was like, okay, it's cool. I appreciate special effects, but I just didn't see the reason. I was like, well, why are we just watching an up-close brain surgery other than to gross people out? And also that I really felt like Jigsaw died, John Kramer, you know, he died at the end of the second movie, but then they kept him going in the third one where he's like on the table the whole time. And I just was like, just die already. Like, the guy's, like, so close to death the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then they end up slashing his throat. And I'm like, well, I would have just preferred to see him die naturally at that point. You know, it's like, you know, we've already established that he's dying from cancer and that there is this inevitable, you know. But now he's, like, getting chainsawed or whatever was happening. Or he got slashed. I forget exactly what...
Yeah, he got slashed across the throat with this, like, giant power saw or whatever.
Yeah, and I wasn't really invested in the plot in this one. I loved Amanda, actually. Like, I thought she could have been great to sort of take over for the rest of the series, but then, of course, she gets shot. And I just think it's like it just doesn't follow the first two very well. I think it's kind of like a Terminator 3 or Alien 3 situation where... like, there's some redeeming things about it, but it just doesn't live up to the first two.
See, you know, it's weird. I actually had the opposite effect. I didn't much care for 2, because 2 was actually originally a different movie, and then they rewrote it to fit into the Saw universe.
Oh, interesting.
And I always felt like 2 stuck out, but it gave you the most context that you needed to understand, like, John Kramer and how the games were, quote-unquote. The third one, as I watched it, I realize it's kind of a fucked up love story because you really do see how much Amanda cares for Jigsaw and how much there is that mentor apprentice relationship. But there's also something more there because we don't find out that Jigsaw's got a wife until, well, no way. I guess we do see he does have a wife because he calls out Jill's name in that movie, but we don't know what the context really is. But yeah, I mean, one of the cool things about these movies, that I like, especially with the first three, are the traps, because they seem less sadistic. They seem like they're more survivable, in a sense. Although, Amanda designed all the ones in the third movie, and you pretty much die if you're in those. And I don't know. I mean, I one of my favorite traps, not just the reverse bear trap, but you really don't get to see that pay off truly until Saw 7.
Which, oh, that's right, yeah.
Which is kind of weird. I always thought it ripped the head literally in half, not just made you look like... You know what it made me think of? This is going to sound so weird. You know when people make duck lips with Pringles?
Yeah.
That's what it made me think of, and I don't know why.
I did love that effect in Saw 7 when you see it actually rip the mouth open. Like, the effect was great.
I'm just like, oh, Jesus.
It's kind of like a payoff after having, you know, because she survives it the first time. So it was like that big payoff, like, oh, now we actually see.
Yeah, and it's been teased because they always talk about the reverse bear trap gets mentioned, I'm pretty sure, in like every movie at least once. I guess that's the Saw signature trap, so to speak. Although it's kind of cool, though, just how you see the games evolve, because from the first movie you had the wire, or you had the razor wire maze, which you didn't see that get played out until I think it was Saw 4 or 5, where you saw how it was designed. Then you had, I don't think, what else was in the first movie? You had the bear trap, the razor wire, and then you had the game that took place in the room where they had to either saw their own foot off or escape or whatever. And I liked the intimacy of the first movie because it really was this moral dilemma. Like Jigsaw's victims, all things considered, very few of them actually deserve the severity of what they got. But a few of them did. Like, especially the insurance scam people in Saw 6 and 7, but we'll get to that. And I liked how the character of Dr. Lawrence Gordon, played by Cary Hughes, you start to see how he's not such a bad guy, but then you see that he was cheating on his wife, and he was kind of this, I wouldn't call him a bad person, but maybe immoral, didn't realize the good life that like he had. But then, as you see, Jigsaw's manipulated it, so pretty much no matter what he does, he is kind of screwed, because if he hadn't succeeded in his game, the orderly was going to get him anyway, Zepp, which I forget what his crime was. I think he was just like a drug addict or something. But one of the things about, like I said, the first Saw movie is the fact that it more or less takes place in one room. And because they made this movie on such a ridiculously shoestring budget, and originally they only shot one sequence of this movie to pitch it to investors, and it got bounced around for years before someone took a chance on it. And that kind of shows with a horror movie, and you know this, James, horror movies are easy to make and they're cheap, all things considered, compared to like your Michael Bay action explodey movies.
Yeah. Like, supposedly, I have written down here that they had 18 days to shoot it.
Yeah, and that's a fairly rushed schedule, especially when you have so many different effects departments working together, especially with like, with a movie like Saw, your script supervisor, when it comes to continuity, will be working overtime.
Because and apparently they couldn't get the continuity right. Like, there was, like, they needed more things to cut away to, so they ended up shooting like a whole other leg of the production of cutaways of like surveillance footage and newspaper clippings and things. So that's when you ended up having all that like fast editing, all those cutaways. And then it sort of became a style after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of neat how you see necessity breeds invention, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's kind of amazing how you see how on such a shoestring budget they were able to accomplish so much. And I really do give Juan credit for creating this incredibly screwed up world that the Jigsaw Killer creates. And I guess let's kind of talk about the villain of these movies, because we've talked about him, but not about him. And John Kramer, as we've discussed, he is the Jigsaw Killer. He's this cancer patient who wants people to realize the gift they've been given. If you look up on the Wikipedia, he refers to himself as a deranged philanthropist, and not necessarily wrong, because he is trying to teach you the good life that you do have. You should treasure every moment, every breath, because his is being taken away from him. And I think the movie that nails this the most, but I think it's more of a political statement, was number six. Six is the movie where they have Big Pharma involved. And they talk about the insurance company who has this formula to life, so to speak. Sort of like expected months to pay versus health equals we'll take you on as a client. Otherwise, we'll deny you for coverage and blah, blah, blah. But you see that Jigsaw, he wasn't always a bad guy. It wasn't until, like, his wife got a miscarriage by a drug addict coming into the clinic and jamming a door into his wife's stomach that kind of set him down this dark, evil path, which, truth be told, I never would have even thought that could kill a baby. The whole door thing, but then again, what do I know, right? I don't have kids.
yeah, it's a terrible thought.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I like about these movies, is the fact that the terrible thoughts, Jigsaw pushes you to imagine all the terrible, terrible things you've done. And there's one thing that he says to Hoffman, who is his new apprentice after Amanda, more or less, his most senior apprentice, I guess you could say, where he's like, there's a difference between killing and justice, and there's a difference between rehabilitation and them going out to reoffend. I rehabilitate people 100% of the time, whereas the rate of reincarceration is something like 66% in this city or something. And he illustrates it I think there's one trap where he shows Hoffman, he's like, watch this. That person is now 100% cured. They will never take another day of their life for granted. Whereas if you arrest them and put them in jail, they'll just come back. And it's kind of fucked up, because you think about Jigsaw, and I wonder if you can compare him with another comic book character, though less, maybe not less brutal in the methods, but definitely less fucked up. Mm-hmm. Look at, say, the Punisher from Marvel. Mm-hmm. All bad guys must pay, from the street pimp to, you know, the white-collar crime guy embezzling millions. There is no difference. There is right, there is wrong, there's just, there's unjust. Jigsaw at least gives you a chance to survive, and that's the important thing. And I kind of wonder if that message got lost a little later in some mm-hmm. of the movies, because some yeah. of these traps don't seem survivable.
A lot of people fail. That's one thing I always mention, that you see people fail more than they actually succeed in it, which I think was just like, at a certain point, I'm like, oh, come on. Like, we know everybody's going to die.
Well, yeah. Like, there was one, I think it was the sixth one, where they have the six people involved in, there was like a building scam, so to speak. There was this investigative journalist, a fire inspector, and these other people, and like a trust fund baby. And they each had, there were three rooms. There was like glass boxes. Each of them had a key in it that would undo the collars. And they had to rush to get it. But if one person pulled forward, all of them would get pushed back and potentially get their heads cut off. And eventually they just start beating each other's brains in at one point. Because if they don't, these pipe bombs go off in the room. Then in the next room, they had to complete this electrical circuit in a bathtub. And it wasn't until the last room they realized we were all supposed to work together. If all five of us had stood in that bathtub and grabbed a part of the circuit, we could have completed it, the door would have opened, and we would have lived. When they get to the final room, they have these like saw contraptions, and they have to fill a beaker full of 10 pints of blood. Five people, 2 pints apiece, no problem. You're going to get cut bad, but you're going to live. Whereas this one, they have two people. They have to each donate 5 pints of blood. And they basically have to cut their arms right up to the elbow in half. Which, holy shit.
Yeah.
And
not a great option.
No, because there's... I'm sure the greatest surgeons in the world could stitch your arm back together, but your arm's not going to work again.
Yeah, particularly in, let's see, I think it was 5, and I wrote down the notes just so I could remember what was in what movie. But, yeah, was it 5 where she chopped her arm off in the beginning?
No, that was 6, where there were the two predatory lenders, I think.
Okay, oh, there we go, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal. I was like, okay, well, she did it. But damn, what a cost.
But yeah, and I liked how they brought her back for number 7. We're like, you know what I got out of all this? I got a parking spot at the mall.
Yeah, like there's a lot of recurring characters that start off as minor characters, and then sometimes they become main characters. It's pretty crazy.
Which, that's something I think the Saw series did right. Mm-hmm. Is they kept a lot of, like you said, minor characters become bigger ones. You're always looking for the tell in the background to see if you notice them do something. In mm-hmm. fact, I was actually thinking about this. If you look at this movie, you could almost compare it to Ocean's 11 or, what was that, Now You See Me. And what I mean by that is they're showing you the trick without showing you the trick. Basically, you're looking for the distraction. Because if you watch these, for example, in the last movie, Jill gets an envelope, a videotape she's supposed to deliver to the big series survivor, Dr. Gordon, played by Keri Hughes. She drops it in his office and then starts talking to the detective in the hospital. So everything happens for a purpose in these movies. And that's something I like about Jigsaw and don't like about Jigsaw. This guy, he even says it, I think, in number 6. He's like, I don't play guessing games. I basically look at the human condition and see if they'll go the way I think they're going to. Like, he's arguably the world's greatest guesser to the point where he should be doing lottery numbers. yeah. And I think that's kind of neat, though, how he's able to predict what most people are going to do. Mind you, he's just an engineer. If he'd been a psychologist with an engineering background, maybe I could have bought that a little bit better. But then again, do I want my horror movie or not?
Yeah.
So to speak. So what are some things about Jigsaw that you liked him as a villain?
It was cool how he would come up with, he would find grudges that people would have against each other. And then put them in like a room together and have these, like, it's like almost like these terrible experiments almost. Mm-hmm. Let's see, Saw 6, I think, was there's a family in an elevator shaft, and they have this insurance guy who basically like denied their dad of the health insurance that he needed, and they basically have the choice to like kill him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's doing all these things, like he's pairing these people together, and he's like really creative ways. But the only movie where I think he's like really, really good as a villain in itself is the second movie, even though lots of the ideas are in all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm.
But like the second movie, he's like, you're finally like face to face with them for like most of the film. And that's the movie where, like, it really explains why he does what he does. Like, how he says for one thing, he's, like, already in pain, so there's nothing you can do to make his life any worse. So, there isn't really, like, a reasoning. You're not going to, like, talk him out of doing what he's doing. And then everything about, like, how he's, like, trying to do some kind of, like, justice with mm-hmm. people. Like, all that really comes out in the second one. There's something about villains that have like injuries or like something wrong with them, is like Darth Vader, how you know that there's like behind the mask, like he's all fucked up. I don't know, there's something really cool about that. I don't know why, but there's something really like engrossing.
Yeah, like the whole crippled villain sort of thing. Yeah, I mean, I appreciate that too, where he doesn't have to be physically strong to destroy you. He does it, he takes you apart by pieces, sort of death by a thousand paper cuts, so to speak. And that's what I really appreciate about Jigsaw, is he's in it for the long game, because you have stuff that happens in Saw 1 that doesn't get paid off until Saw 7.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. And he's able to have so many games going at once. One thing I did notice about this is I would love for someone to put together a Saw timeline.
Yeah, I
was weird overlaps.
A linear edit. Like, it would be really interesting, because after I was watching these movies, one of the things I noticed was, like, I didn't realize how complicated they were with, like, the chronology, and how, like, Saw 4 is happening at the same time as Saw 3, and you don't really even know it until they actually walk into the scene of Saw 3, and how they return to that room from the first movie a lot, and there's, like, you see every movie, it seems like that foot is still on that chain, and it gets decayed more and more each time.
It's almost like the movies are happening within the same 2-week period or something.
Yeah, and how they go back to so many things that happened in the other movies, and they'll show it, they'll like reshoot an entire scene, like they'll reconstruct a set. Even like Amanda, she goes through like at least 3 different looks in all the movies. And they'll kind of, like, go back, and then they'll have her in it with, like, the old look, and then she, you know, they'll have to, like, I think one of them, like, you see her in, like, all 3 looks, like, with her hair is different and everything. It's just impressive how they keep going back and forth so much and keep, like, unfolding more of the story each time. So that I didn't really expect, because typically, like a movie like this where we're going to have one every Halloween for 7 years, you know, it's sort of like a cash grab, where I was just like, these got to be terrible. They're coming out so fast. And I mean, a lot of them are, but it was better than I thought. But what I'm saying, it's like they could have all stood on their own. Like the studio would have probably been more happy to just have people go into a movie without needing to see the others to understand it. But they really went above and beyond to tie them all up into this one thread.
Well, in terms of movies that come out yearly, I mean, this is the Call of Duty of movies. It's better than the Paranormal Activity movies. Because with this, you actually have to have a strong narrative going through everything. If Saw does anything right, it does continuity right, it does its narrative right. While the narrative isn't always interesting or engaging, at least they care enough not to insult your intelligence. Now, that being said, I'm sure you and I, if we sat down for a week, we could pick these movies apart here like the friggin' CinemaSins guy. But at least they wanted to give you a coherent story, which kind of brings me to my next question. Is there any likable protagonists in this? Is there anybody you are genuinely cheering for them to catch Jigsaw? I find as much as horror movies are about killing and the bad guys, you also have to have likable protagonists. And
yeah,
I'm having a real hard time finding people in this series that I genuinely like.
Yeah, like I really think that was one of the biggest problems, is that there was just nobody else that you like. But I think, I mean, I know part of that is the point of it, that they're all supposed to be bad people. But I wanted to see somebody like redeem themselves and actually, like, you start to like and be like, okay, this person's had enough now. They really understand it, and they're, you know, like I actually want to see a character go through a change. I think Amanda was the only real opportunity for that, and they didn't go as far with it as they could have. Like, I would have liked to see her more as a main character in the rest of them. But you had that, like, Detective Hoffman, and, you know, it kind of went in all these different ways.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of likability, I liked Dr. Gordon because he was the first. But I also really liked Amanda for the same reasons you did. But I really wanted to see the FBI agent, the guy that played Luke from the Gilmore Girls. I think his name was Detective Strom. I wanted to see him succeed. I wanted to see him stop Jigsaw, because I think his motivations, or at least his character, seemed the most likable. Yeah, he was a little bit of a brute, but he wasn't as bad as Hoffman, who shot an innocent homeless guy. Stuff like that. I mean, he had his problems, but I think he got arguably one of the worst deaths in the series, being crushed into literally paste. Which, you know what? Actually, it's funny. I was watching this movie last night before the show, and that's at the point where I actually had to turn these movies off for like half a day.
Which one are we on right now?
Five. I'm like, okay. You know what? I need a break. I need to go play Skyrim or Titanfall or something. Because you know what? It's something about the Saw movies. As much as I do appreciate the cool story, because there really is one in there. Yeah. I really think it says something about the horror movie genre when a series like this can burn you out. You and I can watch the Scream movies and Friday the 13th, Nightmare on Elm Street. There's a lot of murder and death in those, but we're not burned out. These movies, they weigh on you in a weird sense. I've never quite had a movie series stay with me like this.
That's why it took me so long to watch them all, because like the third one, it put me in such a bad mood after seeing it that I was like, oh, how am I going to do these again? So I rewatched them all now. Like, I started with the first one again, so that would mean I've seen the first one the most times. I've seen the first one three times at least. The second one I've seen twice. Third one I've seen twice. The rest I've seen once. But all the rest of them, like Saw 4, I think got a little better. Mm-hmm. But then, like, once I got into 5, 6, I was just like, oh man, I'm just like trying to get through them at this point.
Now, did you watch these by yourself? Did you have, like, say, Mike with you?
No, I just watched them by myself.
What did you take away from these? Like you said the third one put you in a bad mood. Mm-hmm. What was it that got you into such a bad mood? For me, to kind of give you an example, I think it was watching... It was when they started doing close-ups of the gore. And it seemed completely unnecessary. Starting with 3 and the brain surgery, felt like, okay, I watch enough kind of medical shows, at least that's accurate. It's at the beginning of 4 where they're doing the autopsy and they pull brain. Like, oh, I'm like, what the frankly, what the fuck? You don't need to start a movie like this.
Yeah, I think I got so desensitized, but by the time 4 started, I was like, okay, all right, it starts right up with an autopsy. I'm like, okay, so...
Although, it was kind of funny, though, watching him eat the wax tape and just, like, home. He just swallows it. Because I'm sorry, you are not getting that down your throat. It doesn't matter how much Cepacol you have. It's just... No.
I was just like... Well, I was also just like, how many traps does this guy have? And, like, how does this keep going on?
I'd like to know... You know what? As we often joke on this show, we could pick this apart. You know how you catch the Jigsaw Killer? You watch the guy going to Circuit City buying all these micro tape recorders. I'm just saying. Who comes in and buys like 12 of them?
Yeah. But also about the gore, I think by the time I got to 7, I was like laughing at the gore again. Where like 7 had the craziest gore effects, I thought.
Oh, like, yeah. Especially when they kill, like, all those, I think they were Nazis or whatever, where they had the girl's head get crushed by the car. And then there was...
His wife, Kramer's wife, twice she dies because there's that dream. Like, one of them's just a dream. And I think, what was it? The first time she gets killed...
It's like a weird car thing on like tracks or something.
Oh, yeah. It's just like this thing on a rail that comes in, hits her, and she fucking explodes. and then there's that... Oh, it's the jaw trap, right?
Killed her.
Yeah. And then there's those guys chained to the car, and it rips the one guy's face and arms off.
That was such a Mortal Kombat move.
It really was. It's just a bunch of fatalities.
The one that got me with this one, where I'm like, holy shit, it's where the lawyer dies and they have the 3 spikes pierce her face because he has to lift up this thing to complete a circuit or whatever, but he has to hold it for like a minute while he's getting stabbed in the gut.
Which one were you on?
That would be 7.
Okay, so we're still in 7.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, holy shit. Because it looks just so painful. And even when the chick, there's the other trap where they have to pull the fish hook out of her stomach. Mm-hmm. And they have, if she screams, these things will pierce her neck.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, holy crap. Although, arguably, I wonder if that trap you could disarm if you were smart and just destroyed the microphone.
Huh.
Because I was thinking about that, because obviously I have the background in audio. And I'm just thinking, well, disable the mic. But then again, this guy's smart. There's probably a backup sort of thing, or the room's wired or something. But, yeah, like, there were so many ridiculous gore effects in number 7. Especially, like I said, we finally saw the payoff for the reverse bear trap, which, yeah, you're not surviving that. Or even if you do, your life is over.
Should we just reel off all the best traps from all the movies?
Oh, yeah, yeah. my favorite one, number 6, because I think it's so brutal and sadistic.
Mm-hmm.
It's the carousel.
The
shotgun trap.
It's like so complicated that there's a gun that's loaded, and there's two, I think they can save two of the people on it.
Yep.
And they have to choose, and it's like it's spinning around so that they land right in front of the gun, so it would shoot them off like this big killing machine that he built almost. Yeah, that was very creative.
Because I found that one to be one of the more moral dilemmas, because you have, because that was the insurance salesman or the insurance guy. And he was like, who do I save? The one girl is like, I have a family. He's like, okay, no problem. I can save you. And then everybody in that group turns on each other. They're like, I'm pregnant. She's like, she's lying.
Uh-huh.
And then the other guy who is quote unquote the Terminator looking for flaws in the insurance claims is like, no, I'll do anything you want. And the other guy's like, don't listen to him. He's a liar too.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like, I love the sadistic choice there, but I can see why it was so hard. And I think, I can't remember if he saved one person or if he did in fact save two on that one.
He did. I think it pretty much played
out. Was the other
out.
Woman.
Yeah, there were two. And that movie also had the wall of spikes that comes down and injects them with acid, and the body melts off by the waist, and just the waist, below the waist, everything just melts off.
That was a point. I actually had to turn it off. I'm like, all right, I'm taking a break for 10 minutes, because that's, you know what, that totally reminded me, to go back to Mortal Kombat, mm-hmm. It's like where like Reptile spits his acid up at you. Well, now yeah. I know what that looks like in real life. So thanks for those nightmares.
And then I'm trying to find it, because I wrote notes down for each movie. I'm trying to figure out which one was it when they had the two guys who were chained up, and one of them has his eyes sewed shut, and the other has the mouth sewed shut. So
I think that was number 5, I think.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm like,
That was a good trap, too.
Yeah, because then the one guy just doesn't see the other guy, and the other guy can't say anything but mumble. So, and he, you know, you wake up feeling, you know, chained up with your eyes sewed shut. You're probably just going to attack the next thing that, you know, comes near you. So they just had these two innocent guys just fight each other. I mean, well, like, you know, guilty or whatever they did. I don't know. But Jigsaw's punishing them, which are all very extreme punishments, of course. But
one of my favorite traps, I wish it didn't go off the way that it did, because mm-hmm. I think the character genuinely deserved to live. Going back
to
Saw
3. Oh, that was 4, actually.
Oh, that was 4, okay.
The sewn mouth eyes, I just found it in my notes. It was number 4.
It's the trap of number 3, where Dr. Lin, the woman, has that shotgun collar. I thought that was way overkill, for one. But I thought that was one of the more creative traps in the series, where you can go 30 feet, then it'll blow up. Otherwise, if he dies, you die.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I did like about 3, how their lives were intertwined.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't a whole lot she could do. I'm like, he's a cancer patient. What the hell do you want him? What the hell do you want her to do?
Yeah.
Also,
4 had the pushing the face through the blades to escape the chair. That I thought was brutal.
But survivable, you know, all things considered.
Yeah, survivable, but just horrible, horrible. And then the guy standing on the ice block where the ice melts, and he's his neck is tied by a rope. So yep. It was like when the ice melts, then he gets hung. Like that was pretty creative too.
And then even when that trap goes off, he isn't even killed by it. He's killed by these two giant ice blocks that smash his head in half.
Yeah, I was like, wait a minute. I thought it was like it could have been simpler, but then it turned into that thing where the two ice blocks smash him. Which that when that happened, I think out loud, I was just like, oh.
Yeah, I was like, ah. And the thing, that was the guy he came to save. I think that was Detective Riggs. It was the Black SWAT officer. Was trying to go through, and that was Jigsaw's lesson to him, is that you can't save everybody, which is kind of screwed up, because you'd think Jigsaw would want these people to live, because they weren't all bad people, but then again, once again, nobody in this series is necessarily pure as the White Virgin Snow, though arguably I wonder if Riggs didn't do a whole, I remember at one point, I think it was in Saw 3, he didn't listen to a detective, and he went into a room unsecured. That's where they found Dina Myers' body. That was the rib cage trap.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought that was a pretty cool design too, actually. Mm-hmm. Which you don't see her in nearly enough movies. I've always liked her. But so let's talk about what have these movies added to the horror genre. What do you think?
I mean, it's definitely its own thing. Like, it's definitely, something that hadn't been done really. I mean, a lot of people call them torture porn movies, but I don't really think that these are that. Like, yeah, I think there's something more to it.
Yeah. It's not Hostel. Hostel seemed to dwell on the cruelty of pain being inflicted. In this, pain was merely a consequence. Mm-hmm. Of these things. And yeah, I don't think I can't classify them as pure torture porn, because you're right, it's not. It is its own unique thing. I think if anything, it did something wonderful for showing the practicality of special effects, especially when they did everything practical.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't a lot of CG, or at least that I saw, used. It was a lot of rubber and corn syrup and all sorts of fake blood. I'm sure Tom Savini's thinking, it's one of my guys, I'm sure. In fact, I'd actually be very curious to know who did the special effects for these movies, to see if they were trained under anybody like Savini or Greg Nicotero or something.
Yeah, they are good. Like, it's some of the most elaborate deaths I've ever seen in a film.
And I wonder if these movies would fly now. Because the last one we had was like two or three years ago. And they're talking about rebooting the series now. Actually, supposedly they're filming in Toronto like right now.
Yeah.
For Saw Legacy or something.
Uh-huh. But how long ago was Saw 7 again?
Saw 7 was, if my cat would get off my mouse. Ayla, can you please get lost now? No, Dad. Thank you.
I had the same thing. My cat was being an asshole just now.
Like, oh, kitty, I love you, but why do you annoy me? all right, so Saw the Final Chapter came out in 2010. Mm-hmm. So it's been 6 years since we've had one of these. And it was made for $17 million, and it made $136. And it's funny, because they said the Saw movie stopped because of a declining return because of the Paranormal Activity movies. Which I find baffling, is those movies are just fucking terrible. There's nothing to them.
Paranormal Activity.
I mean, and it's funny, because you'd think the guy who did the ghost genre right, James Wan, the guy who did The Conjuring, Conjuring 2, Lights Out, Dead Silence, etc., would go back and, like, here's how you make a ghost movie and not make it suck. But I think I like how these movies do make you think. They make you think, could I survive this? Because in essence, they're really twisted morality tales. Because you look at all the bad things you've done in your life and you think, if I was tested by Jigsaw, would I survive? And I can honestly say, yeah, I'm not surviving almost any of these. There's maybe that blade trap where you push your face through it. I could do that.
Yeah.
That's about the only
Which
one.
Which one of the Saw traps could you survive? That's a good question.
I'm trying to think, maybe, well, I couldn't convince someone to save my life if I was in the shotgun carousel. Couldn't do it. I know there'll be someone who's more deserving of life, and that's not my fault, that's not their fault, just the way it is. What about you? Is there any trap you think you could survive on your own?
I'm trying to think. We mentioned the blade thing, like I could see that as possible.
Because that's just pain endurance.
Oh, what?
Because that's just pain endurance.
Yeah. I mean, maybe some permanent scars and damage, but, you know, still. The ones I couldn't, for sure, I know the ones I definitely wouldn't, is like where you'd have to cut off your arm or do anything like that, or like, you know, because I don't know, is that possible?
Like, well, I think back to The Walking Dead where they cut off Herschel's leg after it got bit. So you could survive cutting off a limb if you could do it quickly.
Yeah, but to do it to yourself, like how? Oof. Like I think if
it's one and done, maybe.
Yeah, like I feel like your body has like a mechanism where that prevents you from doing anything like that to yourself. But who knows? Maybe it's been done.
Yeah. Because you think
just
about
it. Horrible idea.
I know, eh? Like, just, ugh. I mean, if you had a sharp enough device and you could for sure cut off your hand in one shot, not multiple, maybe I could do that.
You know what? There's actually a lot of the ones in Saw 2 seemed possible. Like, that. Because, I guess, Saw 2, the idea was that if all those people worked together, they would have all gotten. Because there was, like, a poison in the room.
Yeah.
And, if they would have all gotten and the antidotes, like there was like scattered all around. There was like a needle here, a needle there, and each one of them was inside something that they had to like unlock in some way. But if they all would have worked together, they each could have had enough antidotes to go around for them. But then they ended up just not working together. And I think that was definitely one that, you know.
It's survivable.
Yeah, it was totally survivable, where if they would have just worked together, you know, they failed the test, obviously.
Yeah. I would argue maybe Saw 6 or 7, whichever one had that sequence of three rooms I was telling you about where you had to grab the key and the glass and then the jar thing. Maybe that one would be so if you had the right people. The thing is, you need about 5-10 minutes to talk to people to convince them to, hey, don't freak the fuck out. We can do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even when you think about the reverse bear trap, if you knew where the key was, like, I couldn't dig behind my eye. That I couldn't do. Like, where they, here's the scalpel. Yeah, oh my, even just thinking about it kind of grosses me out.
Yeah, I mean, well, there's the one where she, that's right, she does survive in the first movie, but she has to cut the key out of somebody's stomach. Like, okay,
that's
I could
doable.
See that.
That's doable. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, it's like to save yourself. And like, I think, was the person alive or dead when she
They
did?
Were in the throes of an overdose, so they were dead anyway. But they were still alive medically.
It was enough to make it really difficult to do, but it was still.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth mentioning, you've seen the Abominable Dr. Fibes?
Yeah.
Yeah, like anyone listening that... the whole plot of that movie. It was from 1971, starring Vincent Price. And he plays this character who's been like mutilated and he wears a mask. He was in a car accident with his wife. His wife didn't survive the crash and he blames it on the doctors who operated on her. So he's carrying out his revenge against all the doctors. And one of them, he makes the doctor, he kidnaps the doctor's son and he has a container full of acid, which he's ready to pour down and like, and kill the kid, I guess. But then the only way to turn off the trap is to find the key, and the key is implanted inside the boy's chest. So it's near his heart. So I think like the doctor has to remove the key without killing the kid. And he has 6 minutes to do it, before the acid falls. So he's just trying to see like, you know, you couldn't save my wife. Now here, you're gonna have to save your kid. That was kind of like one of the precursors to the Jigsaw character.
Now, I guess as we begin to kind of close things out here, What do you think the legacy of these movies is going to be? Could you pull these movies off again if you let the genre rest for a couple more years? Or do you think we're ready for Saw Legacy in 2017?
Yeah, I think that they finally let it rest for a bit, you know, from getting burned out. I think now it's finally the time that, you know, they could bring it back. Like, hey, Monster Madness could come back in like another, you know, who knows? Like, you know, I don't want to like say how long. It could be like a couple years or it could be 10 years. Who knows? But like, it's good to give things a rest after a while because they just get burned out.
Exactly. I mean, I like the idea of Jigsaw. I really do. And I love Tobin Bell. I mean, for a guy who's such a character actor, he gave this role that menacing charisma that I don't think any other character actor could have pulled off if they were told to give the same performance. Because he has that gravelly voice, but he also has that sinister intent where he can either be really nice to you because, excuse me, you do see him being a genuine human being.
Yeah.
When he's with Jill.
All those flashbacks and everything.
And then you see him being, I'm going to teach you the meaning of what life really is. And for that, I think he's one of the most memorable horror villains to come out of the last 10 years. I can't think of anybody else who even comes close because I can't think of any new franchises that have popped out. Maybe the guy from Hatchet, but even still, can you name him? Cause I can't.
No, Crowley something, but yeah.
Like Whoopi-Doo, but you say Jigsaw, you know, Tobin Bell, you may not necessarily know what he looks like, but you know his voice.
He's probably the most modern horror villain I can think of that's iconic.
Yeah, and that's, I think, kind of cool. So I'm really glad that they've had a chance to create something memorable for us. Now, supposedly with Saw Legacy, they're going to reboot the franchise so it's new characters with a familiar feeling to it. And I said this at the beginning of the show to you off air. Saw would make a really cool television series, especially because now that you have these long form format shows on HBO or AMC or Showcase or whatever,
even Evil Dead became a show.
Yeah, I mean, you can get away with the excessive violence, but now you have a long story form. And since people, for some reason, still like police procedural shows,
that's true. Yeah,
you could make it work. And you look at the success of shows like Hannibal or Bates Motel, people like serial killers for whatever fucked up reason. So having a character, hell, and I know Tobin Bell has done TV. So if he wanted to come back and revisit the role, you could do that. And not every episode has to have a game in it as long as you're getting constant character development. Because you look at other horror movies that are coming to TV, we have the Scream TV series has come with mixed results, and I think it did okay. There's talk of a new Friday the 13th series, supposedly going to be a period piece, but not every episode will involve Jason. Whereas a Saw series, every episode could involve Jigsaw or John Kramer, or hell, maybe that's the point of the series. Follow John Kramer. Make it about him and how, you know, maybe is trying to do right by the world by doing these terrible, terrible things. Because even in Hannibal, he's, you know, hell, we had a show, Dexter, it was about a lovable serial killer. So why not Jigsaw, I guess?
Yeah.
So
totally possible.
So I guess there goes our thoughts on the Saw franchise. And I guess as we begin to kind of close things out, I did want to ask you this, and I hope this isn't a ambush question. So you're like, oh, fuck you, Dodd. Did you ever get around during the summer to seeing the Ghostbusters reboot?
No. Have you?
Yes. And I was actually going to offer you something.
Okay.
I have a copy of the Blu-ray.
Okay.
Since you don't have to pay for it, would you check it out?
Well, it's fine. I mean, if you want to offer it, yeah.
There we go.
Does that mean you enjoyed it or what?
You know what? I really did. And the main reason I did is because when I have kids, so either yay or God forbid, I'll be able to show them something kind of cool. Because I like a lot of the characters in that movie. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a pretty good time with it. And plus, the fact that I now got new Ghostbusters merch mm-hmm. was pretty kick-ass. Although I really think they missed an opportunity by not re-releasing the Firehouse. In fact, if they re-released the old Ghostbusters mm-hmm. toys, this would have been a wonderful time to have been a collector.
Yeah. And also, as I said in my video, like, who knows, maybe the movie's good. Like, I even said that. This is all just the trailer didn't look good. And, you know, that's how you base if you're going to go see a movie or not. Like, oh, hey, does the trailer look good? Oh, no, it didn't look good, so I won't go see it. And my problem with it still stands, even though I truly believe that it's probably an okay movie. I don't think that it's necessarily a bad film. Mm-hmm. I just think that the problem was that they totally dumped the rest of the franchise and didn't include the characters from the other films to pass the torch onto the other films, even though I hear they have cameos, but they're not as their
original characters.
Which exactly. is just a very strange choice, because I think it should have been like The Force Awakens, where you have Han Solo and Princess Leia come back and pass the torch onto a younger cast, because I had no problem with the young cast at all, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like, it would have been cool if they'd done something like the comic books had done and say, hey, there's Ghostbusters, Inc., there's franchises all over the world, so mm-hmm. to speak. So, but yeah, I'll get your address after the show, and hopefully you'll do a follow-up video before the end of the year. So, there we
well,
go.
It seems to be such a bad subject. It's just not even worth touching, because, like, you know, because like I said, I certainly have no problem with the gender of the cast. You know, it's like it has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
It's just that they didn't they pretty much abandoned
continuity.
You know, the best person who I ever the person who has said it best was Andre Meadows, the Black Nerd Comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That he said if Girl Meets World could be set in the same universe as Boy Meets World, then why couldn't Ghostbusters be set in the same universe as Ghostbusters?
See, I kind of wonder if it was studio interference and not necessarily the writers.
I wonder. I mean, I think they there was so much baggage with that, with trying to make Ghostbusters 3 made, because we were hearing for years and years, Dan Aykroyd's been talking about Ghostbusters 3, and it's going to have the old Ghostbusters pass the torch on the younger Ghostbusters. We've been hearing about it for years and years and years, and like almost been like promised this movie, and then it just didn't happen. Then it was just like start over from scratch. And especially what was with like waiting till Harold Ramis died to make the movie. It's like all of a sudden it gets made right after his death. And I'm like, well, he could have at least waited like maybe 5 years, and you know,
yeah,
I just thought it was too soon.
Like, I'm hoping the new Ghostbusters animated series does it justice when that comes out, I think next year. In fact, I'm not even going to lie. I'm trying ludicrously hard to figure out who's in charge of that so I can pitch ideas. Because I just want my name in Ghostbusters. In fact, my name might be in a Ghostbusters comic this month. I don't know yet. Because I interviewed one of the writers. But I figured I would ask you that question because I'm part of a few Ghostbusters groups on Facebook. And I said I would ask you. So I do appreciate you taking the time to answer that question.
You saw how well it went last time.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm not really.
I'm expecting hate mail, just hordes of hate mail.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can feel free to send it, but, you know.
I think you'll have more fun than you may realize. And I'll also throw in something a little extra there for you, just as a token of my appreciation. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, so that brings to a conclusion our annual Cinemassacre This Week in Geek.net. Halloween special. Hopefully you've had some new thoughts on the Saw franchise by looking at our thoughts on it. Do I recommend you check it out? Absolutely. At least watch the first one. See what you think. The first one can stand on its own. But if you're willing to follow through the series, don't marathon it.
There's two things you could say about that. It's like, in one way, yeah, marathoning it makes you go numb. Like, I seem to, like, sort of tune out by, like, five. I mean, I didn't tune out, but I was, like, at that point, it was...
You just wanted it to be over with.
It became a little bit of a chore by five.
Yeah.
But, on the other hand, by marathoning them, they're fresher in your mind because the movies are so tied together and they flash back to other movies so much that it's actually beneficial to watch them all close together.
I wonder if someone could do a supercut to make the most coherent of narrative sense from point A to point B.
Yeah, and that's what I really want to see is a chronological... I mean, not necessarily, like, but, like, just see it all in order and in a way that that makes sense. And not as, like, oh, I think that'll be better. I just saying that that's... It would be an interesting experiment, like an alternate way to watch them. Like, I've always wanted to see all the Back to the Future movies in chronological order. It would just be an interesting, I mean, mostly be like watching three up front and then watching, you know, once it gets into two, it cuts around a lot. But I think that's always kind of a cool thing. Like, you know, they're like, oh, watch Memento forwards and see how that goes, which is on one of the DVDs, actually.
Yeah. So if someone knows of a cut like this or knows a link to how to chronologically watch these, we would love to hear from you. So you can reach me at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. That should work. Or you can reach me on Twitter at @BirdmanDodd. James, if people want to get a hold of you, there's cinemasker.com, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Same with your Twitter, your YouTube, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Not like you're hard to find.
No.
So I guess as we look forward to next year, what do we cover next? We got to do something a little bit lighter.
Yeah, what did we do? Let's see, we did Nightmare on Elm Street.
We've done Friday. We haven't done Child's Play yet, and there's a new one coming out.
Oh, okay.
And Chucky's really easy.
What do we have? We have Child's Play 1 through 3, Bride of Chucky... Curse of Chucky. So that's six.
I could do that.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them all, so like I could even sort of do it by memory. I mean, I'd want to watch them again to get them fresh in my mind. But sure, yeah, if you want to do Child's Play next year.
All right, there, guys. So in 2017, we don't fuck with the Chuck. We'll be watching.
Don't fuck with the Chuck. Yeah, remind me next year.
It'll be so much fun. So we'll be doing that next year. So be sure to check out James's content on cinemasker.com. Monster Madness comes to its conclusion on Monday, but always there'll be new Angry Video Game Nerd episodes, Bored James, James and Mike. You guys are doing a fair bit of live streaming now, I've noticed.
Yeah,
or at least I see James, or at least I see Mike doing it.
Yeah, I mean, once the live stream thing happened, like one day Mike was like, hey, there's this live stream thing. It's big on YouTube. All of a sudden, everybody's doing it. And like, we're going to start doing that. And I've been like, well, where are we going to find time to do that? So Mike has been doing that. And a lot of times with Ryan. I've been on it like two or three times so far. So I want to do it more, but it's just, there's no time, like on top of all the regular videos and doing the weekly videos. It's just like, it's almost impossible. Yeah. Like, the time doesn't even exist. Like there isn't any more, even if I didn't sleep, there's no hours to do it.
Well, we can always rest assured to knowing that there's always fresh content up on Cinemassacre's YouTube channel. You're always posting something.
Yeah, I just finished like a 3-month project. It was the AVGN Berenstain Bears episode, which is one of my favorite Halloween specials that I've ever done.
Yeah, and that one I actually really enjoyed with the alternate realities of the Berenstain Bears.
Yeah.
Which I actually saw that pop up on YouTube. There's more people that think this is actually a theory too. With the Berenstain Bears, I'm thinking, man, that's
weird. It was big. It was like actually a few years ago, I think, on the internet is when people started discovering that. But like everybody has the same reaction. Like I was just reading the books to my daughter and was like, oh, that's weird that it's spelled different. Huh. Wonder why they did that. And then somebody else randomly told me about the Mandela effect. And then I looked it up and was like, oh, this is really interesting. Like, so I had to make my own twist on it. And I'm working on a Christmas episode now for the Nerd, and that'll be done in time for Christmas. And that one's a really crazy one too, actually. Not quite as long, but it's a lot of there's a lot of sound design going into it, so it's like it's just a very it's a very time consuming episode to make, but it's really fun.
It'll be worth the effort in the end.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be like another one where it's like stands out in itself. Like it's not like any other episode. Kind of like in the way the Berenstain Bears was, but, you know, totally, totally different. Yeah, really looking forward to that one.
So that'll be released closer to Christmas, right?
Yeah, like hopefully like mid-December. So yeah, hopefully it'll be done by then.
All right there, guys. So James, hold on the line for just a second. So guys, that is our annual Halloween special once again here on ThisWeekInGeek.net. Big thanks to James for coming out. I always get such a great joy being able to hang out with him a couple times a year, and always we get this big conversation once a year. It's always a highlight of whatever year that we're kind of doing it in. So be sure to go back and check out the previous content if you wish. I know James has links up on his website. I've got ones up on ThisWeekInGeek.net as well. Just go back and look through the archives. So anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd for ThisWeekInGeek.net saying live free or die hard, have a safe and happy Halloween. Be sure to be safe and be good to each other. I'll talk to you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. But I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? That 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
F you guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
What's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa, my God, whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at PronoBozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive's Employee of the Month, 2 months in a row. Leave a message at the...
Hi, Jamie. It's me, Jamie. I just had a new idea for our song about the Name Your Price tool. So when it's like, tell us what you want to pay, hey, and the trombone goes, blah, 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 and you say, we'll help you find coverage options to fit your budget. Then we just all do finger snaps while a choir goes, savings coming at ya. Yes? No? Maybe? Anyway, see you at practice tonight. I got new lyrics for the rap break.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.